Welcome to the Big Rig Bull Podcast with your host, Attorney Rashard Alexander, Big Rig Bull Texas Truck Accident Lawyer. This podcast was created to help injury victims receive the care and compensation they deserve when injured by the negligence, carelessness, or recklessness of commercial motor vehicle drivers. Listening to this podcast does not form an attorney-client relationship, and if you need immediate legal assistance, please visit HoustonTruckAccident.lawyer or consult a respected and experienced personal injury lawyer near you. Welcome to the podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Attorney Rashard Alexander, the Big Rig Bull, Texas Truck Accident Lawyer, here on Valentine's Day. Right. Yeah, it's 2020, the year 2020, and it's February 14th, 2020. And I didn't think I would be starting my day off here in the office on Valentine's Day, celebrating it with you all. But here I am. anyways... So today, you know, this is a little bit a little different than the norm. We're taking a break from the norm, normal routine. Today, I'm actually going to kind of talk about myself for a second. You know, I don't really necessarily believe that when I do these types of podcasts and everything, that the focus should be on me. Of course, it should be on the client or the injured party. But today we're going to talk about me a little bit, because essentially what I plan on probably doing is attaching, you know, this podcast episode to my attorney profile or my attorney bio on HoustonTruckAccident.lawyer. So yeah, let me just quickly plug that as well. If you are injured in a car accident, motorcycle accident, truck accident, automobile accident, you can go to my website, HoustonTruckAccident.lawyer, and you can download a free car accident book. I just say car accident just to capture every situation. If you recall, yesterday we talked about basically the five or six different types of automobile accidents that are common in an urban area, and that would be pedestrian, bicycle, car, motorcycle, truck, and bus, or truck or bus, however you want to categorize that, maybe commercial motor vehicle. But yeah, so today we're going to talk about me. So, man, you know, let's say I could just read off my attorney profile. I guess that would be one way to do that. I am a solo practitioner attorney that has practiced law in the state of Texas for almost 9 years now. I've been licensed since November 2011, so I think that may not exactly qualify for 9 years, but I'm in my eighth year now. I graduated from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte with a Bachelor of Arts, double major in political science and English. I minored in economics. I actually started off as an economics major, but I just switched over to poli sci and English because, let's be frank, it was a lot easier than economics, which I think in hindsight, I probably should have stayed with a major in economics, but political science and English were, I thought they were really too easy majors. I mean, just because, you know, I can write pretty well, and political science, I mean, I just felt like a lot of times, you know, other people get mad about politics and stuff like that, but political science majors really don't, because I think we all kind of understand that there's two sides to everything, and there are competing ideologies on both sides and within both major political parties in the United States. So, yeah, I got a political science degree mostly because, you know, it's all about what you're exposed to. And so I wasn't necessarily exposed to engineers and stuff like that growing up. When I went to my career counselor in high school and I looked up becoming a lawyer, you know, the book that they gave us or gave me said that the most common way to become a lawyer would be to get a political science degree. So I felt like, hey, well, I mean, that's the degree. If nothing else, that I got to get that one if I don't do anything else. What I didn't really think about is, hey, well, what do you do with that if you don't go immediately to law school? Because I really have no interest in politics, I guess, to the same extent that a lot of other lawyers do. That's really not my thing, to be constantly arguing or upset about what I see in the news. That's really just not my thing. But I did get the political science degree, and I did get the English degree, and I minored in economics. So I think it's a nice little mixture, you know, for me at least, now that I've found my bearings. And, you know, I've written a few books, so maybe the English degree has come into, maybe that's helped me out somewhat. And I plan on writing, you know, some fiction books in the future. So hopefully, you know, that will... Well, I'm not going to say hopefully, and I'm not going to say I'm going to. I mean, I'm not going to say that. I hate to say things in a way that make it seem as if I won't complete it, because I am going to actually do it. But I'm going to write some fiction books in the future, so maybe my English degree will help me in the future. Moving right along. So I went to West Virginia University for my law degree. I went there because the in-state tuition is much more affordable than you know, almost any other place you can go in the nation. I mean, granted, the out-of-state tuition is still really high. You know, I was able to get some in-state tuition for my degree, and while I was there, I felt like, well, hey, you know, I'm not going back to school. I'm not doing all of this again. I'm only going through school once more, you know, maybe, but I'm going to get all the education that I possibly can. So probably after my first year or so, you know, is when I found out that, hey, you know, you can actually do the double major. You can do the double major, and you can turn around and graduate with 2 degrees. So I said, well, hey, why not? You know, maybe the MBA will come into some, it will help me in some form of fashion. I may have to come out here and work for myself, and I need as much business acumen on a corporate level or corporate level thinking as I possibly can have. So I went ahead and did the JD MBA program after the first year. And, you know, that was, I mean, I wouldn't say it was difficult. I worked a third shift job while going to law school as well and getting the MBA. But, you know, all in all, I mean, I really enjoyed my experience at West Virginia University. I loved the town, and I actually loved the weather. I mean, I know some people may hate the snow and stuff like that, but I'm a huge fan of it all because you don't really know what you have till you miss it. I mean, now we're here in Houston, I don't miss shoveling it, but sometimes you do miss, like, just being able to go out and, you know, ride on sleds and, you know, just have a white Christmas and stuff like that. So, you know, I think wherever you are, you know, you just have to be thankful for the weather you have, as long as it's not flooding or you're having hurricanes or anything like that. But yeah, I went to West Virginia University and received my JD MBA, JD and MBA from there, from the College of Law and the College of Business. After that, I went to University of Houston, and I achieved a Master of Laws in Energy, Environmental, and Natural Resources Law. So originally, when I came to Houston, you know, I moved down here, like what I said, like what, 2011. So we were in the middle of, like, probably we were in the middle of the recession and, or the Great Recession, I guess. And the legal market for young lawyers was non-existent, I would say. It just seemed like so many people went into other areas that had nothing necessarily to do with being a lawyer after they graduated, and not really through any fault of their own. It just, there were not enough jobs out here in the marketplace to really sustain or give them the opportunities to really find themselves a stable place in the profession. And so, you know, it's funny to hear, you know, inclusion and diversity and all these things. And, you know, I'm not going to say I don't have an opinion about that type of stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, one of our law professors said that a law degree is basically just a golden ticket. I mean, you get an entrance to the museum or to the ride. So what you do with it after that is completely up to you. And so what I've tried to do these past 3 to 4 years, I've tried to just go ahead and develop myself into the best, Houston truck accident lawyer, or the best personal injury attorney that I can be for my clients in the areas that I focus on. Now, I think I still have a long ways to go. But, you know, like I said, I think you just have to go out here and find your niche or find your thing. And you have to be willing to do something that may be off the beaten path. It may be something that you may not originally had anticipated. Because like I said before, when I came down here to Houston, my intention was to become an oil and gas attorney. I mean, I had went to West Virginia University. West Virginia, the state itself, is a big coal state. I had done various internships in environmental departments, both governmental and nonprofit. I had also worked at the largest law firm in the state when it comes to environmental issues as well. So, you know, I felt like my path was truly being blazed down a pathway of focusing on environmental concerns. And when I came to Houston, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do was, well, Houston is unique in the fact that it's one of the only cities in the nation that actually has its own not a district attorney's office, but they have their own, the Harris County has its own environmental attorney office or environmental attorney unit. Well, when I came down here, because of the recession and whatnot, you know, there were no jobs. There was a complete hiring freeze on all of that. So, you know, even with the education and everything, those dreams were somewhat dismantled by that, by the economic times that we were in. And I started to kind of look around at things and say to myself, wow, I didn't really recognize before I came to Houston just how cyclical the oil market is. And that is something that I guess you don't really understand until you move to Texas or until you live in a state that lives and breathes off of, to a large extent, its natural resources. You know, growing up in North Carolina, and I've moved around a ton, you know, up and down the East Coast and even some in the Gulf Coast. But moving around on the East Coast, I never really thought about the fact that that natural resources could be an up and down market. I just always considered the fact or thought that, you know, this is something that people are always going to use. And I guess I should have been a little bit more experienced in that, not having such a flawed way of thinking, because of the fact that I was in a coal state, and I recognized that, you know, coal has its problems as well. But, you know, Texas is such a large state, and Houston is the energy capital of the world. You know, you don't possibly think that anything could go wrong when it came to that market. But as I started to go through the courses in the Master of Laws LLM degree, which I still would urge anyone who has an inclination to further their education, I still would urge you to go get another LLM, as long as you know it's going to work for you. I think the thing for me is that I've been able to flip it in a way that because I focus on truck accident law and because I see the need to address hazmat issues when it comes to spills and crashes and wrecks, I think that that degree will benefit me a lot more than, you know, I mean, having that knowledge will benefit me a lot more than the average person because I'm actually using it. I think that's probably one of the biggest problems or dilemmas of our generation is that people are, you know, amassing these large amounts of debt for degrees that they just can't seem to find a job for or use. So, you know, like I say, for me, it's worked out. But I was in class and, you know, a lot of my classmates were, you know, younger than me. I mean, I had twins my first year of law school. I mean, my life has been a lot different than, you know, the average law student. But I was in class with you know, these guys and gals. And, you know, a lot of them were focused on, you know, oil and gas as well. And so I remember when I graduated from the LLM program, and I didn't go to graduation. I mean, I don't really care about that stuff. I didn't go to my law school graduation. After, you know, like the initial thing of college, I was just like, hey, man, it's just a degree. It's what you do with it afterwards that's going to matter. Don't get, you know, all hyped up about, you know, just walking across a stage when you need to come out here and find a job, you know, or do something with yourself. So, what was I saying? Yeah, so I was in class and with a lot of people who were going into oil and gas, and I remember graduating and, you know, I didn't find a job in oil and gas, but I remember a lot of my law school classmates did. And I remember, you know, I can't remember exactly when it happened, but it was a few months. It wasn't very long after graduation, and you know, you started hearing about all these oil and gas law firms closing down, and I mean, really old, respected law firms that are just, you know, there was no way that they should have been closing down, but you know, that's the market that you live in. And I remember the oil and gas professor telling us, if you go into oil and gas, if you make money, you're going to make good money, but you have to save that money like no other, because there will be bust. And it's funny. Well, it's not funny. It's not funny because it's actually hurting the city of Houston, and a lot of people are struggling because of it. I believe will be in the coming months. But it's weird, at least, that now we're here on February 14th, 2020, and I'm reading articles about, you know, how the coronavirus is causing the price of a barrel of oil to drop below $50. I'm reading about these quarterly earnings for all these oil and gas companies are way off, or they made huge losses, experienced huge losses in the fourth quarter. And, you know, what is to become of that? Well, I don't know, but it doesn't sound good for a lot of Houstonians and area Texans around, local Texans around the city of Houston, for sure. So I didn't go into oil and gas, like I said. I ended up practicing criminal law. Excuse me. I ended up practicing criminal law for the first, 5-6 years or so of my practice, and I pretty much ran the same route as any general practitioner that just comes out here and tries to, you know, make a living for themselves. You know, I went out here and, you know, became a court appointed attorney and, you know, and did a whole bunch of other things as well. I mean, I did estate, probate, wills, probates and estates. I've done some real estate stuff. I've done some contract business stuff. I've done, you know, like I said, criminal law. I mean, I've done, I only handled one family law case one time. Now I was like, that's definitely not an area where I want to be involved, listening to people argue. They seem to be more at each other's throats than the criminal law side of things. So I've done just about every type of law that you can think of in the first 5 or 6 years of me practicing law. And I think that was a huge benefit to me, maybe not financially at first, you know, because just trying to come out here and find your way and not having really a clue as to what you need to do. How to make it other than reading books and things of that nature, it can be very hard. And it was very hard. But I think also one thing that benefited me was that I understood that technology is the great divider between creating a magnificent law firm and barely eking by. And so, you know, when I first started talking to people around me, like, hey, you know, about building websites and doing other things, you know, no one really seemed to have too much of a, you know, they didn't care, you know, about stuff like that, because most lawyers will get their cases and stuff through their churches and networks and stuff like that. But when you build a niche practice, you have to ask yourself, well, is your network that large that that you will have cases referred to you, the cases you want, based off of that network? Now, I mean, you know, if you know 7,500 people, you know, you may get a case or two that is specifically drawn towards what you want, depending on the type of practice that it is. And depending on how rare the case is, you know, you have to kind of hope and pray that those people will contact you. However, when you build your own networks online and, you know, you do radio advertising and all those other things, you are able to kind of reach a wide swath of people. So, you know, I've kind of always shied away from just trying to force myself upon people and stuff a card in their hand. And I'll talk to anybody, you know, and that's not an issue. But, you know, my thing has always been, well, hey, you know, I look at the Jim Adlers of the world and I look at the Joe Jamals of the world, and there are commonalities among them both, even though people may not be able to see that. But they have larger than life personas in a way, you know, regardless of whether that's who they truly are or were. You know, everyone kind of knows them for being, you know, loud, or not necessarily loud, but loud in their respective ways, if that makes any sense, whether it's advertising or how they handle their trial work. So anyways, off of that, you know, so when I went to West Virginia University, I made law review, and I served as a magister of the Phi Delta Phi Brook Inn, which is like an honorary legal fraternity or something like that. And so now what do I do? I mean, you know, well, I figured out probably about 3.5, maybe 4 years ago that I wanted to practice personal injury law. You know, I had mentors who were, I guess maybe they just were outdated in their way of thinking, or maybe they had bad luck when it came to practicing personal injury. They told me, hey, don't go into personal injury. You know, it's just not worth it. It's stressful, blah, 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 blah. You won't make any money. You're not going to be able to feed yourself. You're going to starve to death, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I guess the thing about it is, to each his own, you know. You really have to go out here and give it a go, old college try. You have to try your own self. I mean, you can listen to other people's advice about life and everything, and hopefully they'll give you good advice. Hopefully they're, you know, I mean, hopefully they're right, but maybe they're wrong. And that's the thing, is that things change, times change. You know, what one person has gone through or what one person has lived is not necessarily how things will be for you in the future, because things and times evolve, and the opportunities that may not have existed for one generation may exist for another. So everything is different. Your education, your background is different. So I said, you know what? I said, I know how to shoot videos. I know how to, you know, make my own little YouTube videos and stuff like that. I said, why don't I, you know, try to make a little series of videos and just kind of figure out what I need to do from there. And so what I've done, you know, what I've always done, and it looks, I, from the outside looking in, I'm sure I share this with Gary Vaynerchuk, that it looks somewhat messy and it looks so crazy, the ideas and the things that I think about doing, until they actually come to fruition. So what I did was, I basically I just would experiment, you know, with different ways of trying to get my name out there. So I might start a podcast, you know, I might shoot a video. And what I did was I spent more money or spent more of my money on investing in technology and in myself than I did on kind of just going out for the most part. And so, you know, fast forward to 3 years later, or almost 4 years later, now, you know, I know how to build a website. I know how to, you know, I know how to market myself, completely myself. And that's the thing that I think will, in the end, will separate me from a lot of other people, is that I know how to survive, you know. And that's not to say I'm better than anybody else, but we all have our strengths and weaknesses. And so, what I basically did was I experimented along the way with different things. And I would learn one thing, I would do it very briefly, I would get it down, learn how to do it, and say, okay, I know how to do that. And then I would move on to the next thing. Because I would look at all these other law firms and look at the things that they're doing, and things that they have, and what these legal marketers were saying the future, where the future lies for lawyers. And, you know, you have to get out here and you have to get out here and discover your own pathway, because nobody really can do it for you. So I started going into personal injury probably about 3.5 to 4 years ago. I made a vlog post kind of celebrating that moment when I told myself, you know what, I'm gonna give it all up. You know, I'm not going to worry about practicing criminal law or doing all these other areas anymore, because I felt like I could have been a really good criminal lawyer. I'm sure I could have, but that wasn't where my heart was. And so I really think that life is short, and I think that you should do things that inspire you, especially if you're going to play at this high of a level in life. You know, you should do things that you're personally motivated to do. Because, okay, for me, before I went to law school, I worked 3 jobs basically at the same time. You know, I would get up in the morning and I would go work basically for an insurance company from about 8 or 9 in the morning to about 5 in the afternoon or so, or 6. Then I would get off of that job, I would go home, go to sleep. And then I would work from basically about 9 or 10 at night to about 6 in the morning. And I did that for probably about, I want to say, 2 or 3 years. And then I also worked a weekend job where I would unload trucks or truck trailers. So for me, after having an experience like that, I told myself, when I go to law school, I'm going to do whatever I got to do, or do what I have to do, to make myself a success. Because if you're willing to work hard on a level like that, you should be willing to work hard as a lawyer. It's not, this to me is not harder than what, you know, physical labor requires of someone. There are a lot of people out here who do things, have to work jobs, and they don't have this opportunity. So if I'm going to graduate and have this opportunity, I'm going to take full advantage of it. Plus, you know, my family, my dad was the first kid to graduate with a high school diploma out of a family of, like, I think 8 or 9. You know, I can't remember off the top of my head, but you know, that to me let me know that I got to get out here and do what I'm supposed to do, because I'm being gifted an opportunity to, you know, change the trajectory of my life and my family around me. So I've just tried to always just work as hard as possible, because too many people complain about things that they can change and they complain too much about things that they cannot change. I think, you know, life is a blessing, and that's what we have to do, is be happy that we're here another day to live our lives. So, like I said, I'm just going all off, man, just talking in a tangent. But hey, this is about me today, so that's what I'm gonna do. It's my attorney bio. So, like I said, 4 years ago, I did a vlog. I was down there in Galveston, Texas, and I think it might have been like October 2017 or something like that. It was right around the time when I really started writing my books. I started writing all these books. So I am an author. I've written 4 different personal injury law books. They're not like textbooks, okay? I mean, I'm not doing all that type of stuff. I'm writing books to kind of address concerns of people who are injured. So they're not like huge books, but hey, I wrote them myself. I didn't get a ghostwriter or somebody else to write them for me, because a lot of times when you see these law firms and they say read our, you know, commercial manual or whatever, what they've really done is they've hired a ghostwriter to go research it, and they just slapped it up on their website. So, you know, yeah, I talk about my books a lot because I actually wrote them. In 2017 is when I started writing my books, I believe, and I did a vlog piece where I was down in Galveston, Texas. I had a criminal case that day, and I figured, hey, man, you know what? I'll take this little camera down there, and because this is beyond the point. I had already bought one camera and started kind of like learning how to shoot videos and stuff in my office. So I bought this small little point and shoot camera to kind of take with me and see if I could do some vlogging with that. So I took it down there with me. I handled the case. I got out, and I said, you know what? I mean, I should shoot a video down here, you know, just kind of announcing that I'm going to be done with all these other areas. Like, I'm not taking any more criminal cases. I'm not trying to do real estate or estate planning. I'm not trying to take all these cases on anymore. I am going to officially declare myself as a personal injury attorney. And so it was around October 2017 that I did that. And I tell you, ever since I decided that I wanted to focus on like one area, it's becoming more and more refined for me. And I think it has been a blessing, really, to kind of nail it down. I mean, I know everyone makes their living in different ways, and a lot of lawyers will practice, you know, will take anything that comes through the door. But like I said, when the situation is serious, you know, and you're talking about people dying, wrongful death cases and stuff like that, to really become an artist, or that's how I kind of view it. Law is an art, but to paint a great picture or to become a great artist, you really have to focus. You have to kind of try to specialize on a particular area. And so I started focusing on personal injury, and I started doing a lot of car accidents. And I remember one of my cousins had contacted me and said, hey, you know, he was a truck driver. And he was like, hey, you know, you should look into truck driving. You should be a truck accident lawyer. And I was like, a truck accident lawyer? Like, I mean, you know, I mean, like, the thing is, it's all about exposure. You don't even really know that some of these things exist, you know, until someone points it out to you. So I just was kind of like a truck driver. And so I'm the type of person that it doesn't matter who gives me advice. You know, I'm still going to kind of think about it or research it or look at it or examine it or turn the stone over and just roll it over in my hands a few times before I throw it back into the water. And so another one of my cousins was like, hey, man, yeah, I'm truck driving. You should kind of look into that. You know, that's a good idea. You know, you should be doing that. And the more and more I thought about it, you know, I was like, well, you know, I mean, I do enjoy, like, driving. I mean, I do enjoy, like, trucks. I do enjoy, you know, I don't necessarily, I'm not a big car fan, but I do like trucks. And so, you know, it just it became something where I just kind of like peered into it, looked over it more and more. I started going to some of the truck shows and stuff like that, and I started looking at the general, you know, just the background of it and everything. I started researching like the, you know, the beginnings of Freightliner and the trucking industry in America. And the more and more you dive into it, you become, it is amazing. I mean, you know, just the history of the transportation industry in America. And, you know, what you don't realize is how vital trucking is to American society. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, if truckers were to just walk away from their jobs, this country would literally shut down in like 2 to 3 days. I think I read an article somewhere where like grocery stores would literally go out of food in like 2 to 3 days if truckers didn't deliver, you know, the food or the cargo or the freight to them every week or whatnot. That's amazing. That's amazing. And I mean, then when you combine the autonomous factor and all these other things that are happening in our country and in our nation, hey, how could you not want to be part of something that's important? And so when I look at truck accident law, I don't really look at it as if, you know, I don't look at it necessarily with the whole opportunist eyes, you know, of someone who's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get rich, y'all, whatever, you know, because really, you know, you're dealing with the pain and suffering of others, and that's what you're supposed to be addressing. But in a larger scope of things, what you're also doing is you're helping an industry become better, at doing their jobs. And they may not look at it like that, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, some motor carrier companies are habitual line steppers. And so, you know, when you're dealing with a habitual line stepper, sometimes they got to be checked, you know, because if they get out of line, who else is going to put them in place or in check other than someone such as a lawyer? So, I don't know. I mean, so, like I said, I guess I should read some more of my bio. You know, I enjoy reading the Overdrive magazine. I do enjoy reading the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration regulations and transport topics. I also like Freight Waves, too. Freight Waves is a great periodical to read. One thing that I am doing, I'm trying to learn more about grief counseling, because this particular field of law deals obviously with a lot more catastrophic situations than just the average car accident, because the machinery that someone is driving, the truck driver is driving, I mean, it is way more dangerous than the average vehicle. So I'm trying to learn more about grief counseling. I'm not going to go back to school to be a counselor, but I'm reading books about, you know, how to handle grief and loss and things of that nature. And, you know, it's just helpful all around, because you never know how, you know, you can help someone, because lawyers are often some of the first people that people who are going through grief, they usually are one of the first people that you meet when you're going through grief or suffering or pain. So as an attorney, it's important to be able to know how to properly handle that or redirect those people to the right resources. Additionally, I'm studying for my Texas CDL permit. I mean, well, I'm not studying for my Texas CDL permit, but I'm going to truck driving school. So I'm just looking forward to that, man, just learning more. And I thought about briefly just stopping practicing law and just driving a truck for about a year or so, just to kind of get some on-the-road experience, fully immersive experience, but I don't think I'm going to do that. But it would be fun, wouldn't it? It sure would be. I'm answering myself. That's crazy. But, yeah, so I'm going to get my Texas CDL permit. And I also like studying or reading about freight brokers or freight brokerage startups, because I'm interested in that as well. I like watching my sports teams, and I spend time with my family. And so, like I said, I also like pickup trucks. I'm trying to decide, you know, my next vehicle, which one is going to be. Down here in Houston, it seems like every other vehicle, if it's not an 18-wheeler, is a pickup truck. A lot of people drive trucks. I don't know if it's just the state, if it's a state thing or what. I've been to other cities, and you know, a lot of other cities do drive trucks too. But I mean, Houston is such an urban area. You know, it's very weird to see so many pickup trucks on the roads in a place that is so full of concrete. You know, especially coming from a place like West Virginia, where there's so much more greenery everywhere. I mean, everywhere. The West Virginia and Houston are like day and night when it comes to the physical landscape, the terrain of it all. Because, like I say, Houston is a complete concrete jungle, and when you go to West Virginia, it's, you know, it's green. You know, the leaves change color and all that, and it's snow and everything else. So, yeah. Also enjoy hunting, fishing, astronomy, and videography. I've published articles, you know, when I published articles in different media outlets. When I first came out of law school, like I told you, I thought I was going to be an oil and gas attorney. I tried my hand at a number of things. I thought about being a cannabis attorney, but I didn't feel like having to move to Colorado or somewhere else again. I didn't want to have to, you know, uproot my family and move again. So, you know, I kind of just settled into what I could find here, and I finally found something that could make me happy, and that would be truck accident law. So I thought about being a cannabis attorney. I was a TABC lawyer for a while, meaning an alcoholic beverage lawyer. I helped craft beer companies and small startup food companies. I told you, I've done a lot. You know, get themselves up off the ground, and, you know, I knew a bunch of people in the craft beer community before I decided to turn in my business contract lawyer hat and move over to the personal injury side of things. So I've written articles on, you know, like alcoholic beverage law and how environmental law, business law, how those things intersect, you know, as far as the wastewater from producing craft beer and those things. I'm a member of the Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys. I'm also a member of the AAJ, the Houston Trial Lawyers Association, and the College State Bar of Texas. Now, the last thing is that I've also tried to, I'm trying to put, I said it again, I don't like to say I'm trying something, I just like to say I'm doing it, because I think that's a much more stronger, imperative statement that forces you to action instead of just being someone who talks about things all the time. So I'm founding an organization called the Texas Association of Hazardous Materials Attorneys. And this association is dedicated to protecting Texans from commercial motor vehicle hazmat spills, releases, and explosions. If you've been paying attention to anything that's been going on in the news, and you're from the Houston area, you know that, I mean, we've had explosions, you know, we've had hazmat spills, we've had pig parts spilled all over the highways, we've had a number of different issues down here. We've had two or three hazmat spills, I think, in the last 2 weeks. So, you know, things are always happening down here, and we need something. We need some type of organization to shine a light on these issues, because living in a state that is a red state, you know, that has its pluses and its minuses. You know, one of the minuses is that we tend to be a bit lax when it comes to environmental health and safety as a state. And so, you know, we have to do something to ensure that, you know, the chemicals that are being spilled on our roads and whatnot are not ending back up on our dinner plates or in our waterways or anything, you know, that really could affect us in the long run. Because, you know, places like the east side of Houston already have a much higher rate of cancer than, you know, the rest of America, and the air quality is not always great either. So we have to do more to protect our environment. I was in the military. I was an Army National Guard, North Carolina Army National Guardsman, back in North Carolina, obviously. And let me see. Do I have anything else up here? I'm licensed to practice law before the Texas Supreme Court, United States Court of International Trade, the Southern District Federal Court of Texas, and the Bankruptcy Court. And I've been a certified international and domestic arbitration mediator, arbitration/mediator through the Blakely Advocacy Institute back in 2011 at the University of Houston Law Center. I've held different positions in organizations, like being on the boards of the City of Houston's Land Assemblage Redevelopment Authority, or LARA. I've been part of the Greater Houston Restaurant Association, part of the Houston International Trade Development Council. I volunteered for over 4 years at the SHAPE Community Center, helping people who, indigent clients who had issues, everything ranging from criminal law to tax foreclosures on their homes. I did a variety of things on that, wills, trusts, and estates, serving the Third Ward area and those surrounding areas. I tried to put together a legal clinic in Acres Homes, but, you know, I just couldn't get it off the ground. I didn't have enough support, really, to create a groundswell to keep it really alive and thriving. I don't know. I had to just kind of move on from that. But the other thing is, let me see. Yeah, I think that's really it. I mean, I don't really have any more anything more else to say. I think I've rambled for quite some time. I'm not sure if I need to put this on as my attorney bio, but this is it. So, you know, like, hey, like I said, if you have any questions or concerns, you can go to my website, HoustonTruckAccident.lawyer. And like I say, download that free ebook. I have a lot of stuff on there. I got infographics on there. I mean, I got glove compartment guides. I got all kind of stuff on there. I mean, you know, if you are injured in a car accident or something like that. Also, if you have social security disability questions, you can, you know, go on there as well. I might have something on there to answer some preliminary questions for you on that as well. And I'm starting to do a little bit of that, because if you're involved in a catastrophic injury, you may not be able to go back to work. So you may have to rely on SSI as a result of that. So I figured, hey, that's maybe not a bad idea to learn and do some of that as well. So this is the Big Rig Bull, Texas Truck Accident Lawyer, Rashard Alexander. This is February 14th, 2020. Hope you're having a happy Valentine's Day, you and yours. And, you know, if you're not with anybody, hey, it's okay too. You know, you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. So, you know, have a blessed day, and I will see you again tomorrow. Thank you for listening to the Big Rig Bull Podcast with host attorney Rashard Alexander, Big Rig Bull Texas Truck Accident Lawyer. I hope you enjoyed today's topic. Please feel free to leave comments and suggestions on how to better assist you regarding future personal injury topics. If you like what you hear, please share and subscribe to the podcast. Have a blessed day.